6.9 FM, live and local. KVOE's emergency traffic and mobile news reports are brought to you by Floyd's Incorporated. For all of your auto body and auto repair needs, it's Floyd's 1221 Industrial. KVOE live and local, sunshine 56 degrees. It is 8:30.
KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local. This is Newsmaker 2.
Glad to have with us Jim Hubert, Emporia City Engineer. This is the time of year when we start seeing at least the plans for a lot of orange cones going up across the community, and it sounds like things are setting up to be all systems go here very soon on those projects.
Jim, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Ron, Chuck. I'm doing well, thank you. How are you both?
We're doing all right here so far. So before we start talking about specific projects, how busy are you and your staff right now?
It's probably same as last year. I would say we typically see a let up in the winter where we start planning out some more of our projects because we're not doing field work. But it's kind of a carryover, but it kind of comes with the territory.
Well, and we have other folks, contractors that are busy with activities and construction work around town, specifically on the roads, and that's crosswinds on Merchant Street. What's that going to be, about 2 weeks? Is that kind of the general time frame they're going to be working on that driveway?
Yeah, and they've actually got two phases. They're doing their south driveway here starting next week. I think they're setting up traffic control at some point later today. And they'll start construction next week. I'm guessing there's a couple days of tear out and put back, and then you're looking at probably up to a week of cure time. And so we'll see if we can get some of that traffic control pulled back less than the 2 weeks. But we're planning for the worst and hoping for the best.
What about activity out near Bungie? Did that start this week, Jim?
It did. So Bungie had contacted us in the state about hiring a contractor to get out there and do a little bit of maintenance on their spur track, that their storage line that they have. And I'm guessing, I don't know if I ever heard the extent of how long they were going to take on that. We're hoping it would be just a day, a couple days, but that was going and starting this week as well.
And, there's a lot of, process that always seems to like it's been ongoing forever, but it's really been less than a year for 24th and Prairie. How do things stand with that, and what are the immediate next steps with that waterline replacement process?
Yeah, and you're right, Chuck. It started last June, and so we were expecting it to be a year project, and they're about right on track. They're, I think, about 75% earned on the contract, and close to that earned on or spent on their number of working days. Right now they're in the area between 18th and 15th. That's kind of their emphasis and their focus. I know the people that live in that area are not tremendously happy with us and the contractor right now in terms of access, but unfortunately, when you're dealing with 5 to 110-year-old cast iron pipe that has had its share in history of line blowouts within the city and its impact on businesses and citizens. We got our service life out of it, and unfortunately or fortunately, we're in a position where we're replacing that line with a little bit larger 24-inch main that'll go down all the way down to 12th Avenue. So we're looking at probably a good 30 days plus or minus, depending on weather, for construction there between 18th and 15th.
All right, and what's after that then?
So after they get that done and they get it tied into 15th, where that 16-inch, where we have an existing 16-inch main that goes east into town, then they'll take off from 15th and head down to 12th Avenue. Kind of in a similar effort. Our guess is that it's probably going to be another month to do that portion, and then to wrap it up, then they'll tie in there at 12th Avenue intersection, which That, unfortunately, that will close down 12th Avenue intersection for a good little bit there, a couple of weeks, when they make that tie-in there.
Jim, I've got to ask here now about the other major waterline process, and that's the Southeast Transmission Line here. I understand you've got a meeting coming up here before the end of the month. First off, what's involved with that meeting, and then how are the two processes going to, I guess, maybe overlap in timing here later this year?
So we're taking it to study session to talk about the bids that were received, and that's next week, and visit with the commission about it, and the emphasis and priority that we have with that project, and look at what our options are. If we're happy with the bids that we received, if we feel like we want to proceed with the low bid that we got, I don't want to put words in the commission's mouth. So, and the expectation for starting, I think we have a late start date, early start date of April, about mid-April, and then we have a late start date, I think, of the end of June. So we'd expect the contractor to start, if it's awarded, anytime in between those dates. And, if they start the late start time, there's a good chance that 24th and Prairie Waterline Project could be completed. But if they're in April, I'd say, yeah, we're going to have a little bit of overlap. But the two areas that I'll be working on aren't, there's not overlap there, because Southeast Transmission starts on Garfield at 12th Avenue and then proceeds southward. So traffic won't be impacted. Southeast Transmission, for the most part, it's really coming down, I would call it, secondary residential roads, rather than like we do on Prairie Street, where you're on a collector street.
So the 24th Avenue and Prairie Street Waterline Improvement Project, what is your estimate for time for finish there, Jim?
So they've got about 40 to 45 working days left. And that, usually you get about 20 working days a month. So we're estimating a couple of months. That puts you into about mid-May time frame.
Okay.
If everything goes well. Obviously, we'd love to see them be able to finish early. And if they run into some difficulties, we're hoping that they don't have to proceed past that.
Understood. When it comes to Southeast, this is a much longer project when it comes to just sheer length of work involved here. How much mileage are we talking about there with Southeast, and what is the general timetable for getting that process done and, really solidifying the water supply across town as a result?
Yeah, I think there's 35,000 linear feet on that project, so that's and I'm kind of going from memory. That puts you in about 7 miles of total project length. We've got some parallel mains in there along the large transmission line, also where service lines will be tied onto. It is a 265 working day contract, which, if you run that out, five days a week, I think it's 54 weeks, if you do the math. So, you're looking at a year, a little over that, neglecting weather. So when you get across winter, things don't happen as much due to weather. You can probably throw in another month. So it's probably a 13 to 14, maybe 15-month contract.
I did notice that our city engineer has taken to social media to address a question or questions from the Emporia community, leaning towards the shape of our roads here in the city of Emporia, Jim. And is there concern among the public that the roads are in bad shape here?
Well, this is a new thing our communications manager has put us onto in terms of trying to convey our messaging and hopefully share what we do, why we do, and how we do things with the public, and there's been some conversation or questions about the road conditions and why they're not being addressed in some areas and so forth. So I was put to doing a video answer on that, and hopefully I explained that well. And you know, to be honest, I do plan on keeping my day job and doing engineering and not getting on film, that's for sure. So, but you know, one of the things that people need to understand, I think, because I was just looking at this morning, the amount of lane miles that the city has.
Yeah.
You know, I pulled that up. Let me find that here. We have 365 lane miles, which equates to about 963,000 linear feet of lanes. When we look at the total numbers of what we spend per block or per linear foot, we've got, in terms of our assets, our street assets, if we had to overlay all of our streets in one project, we're talking about a $96 million project just to do mill and overlay. And if we had to do reconstruction, which is from the ground up, you're looking at about 4.5 times that, about $450 million. We have a lot of money invested in our streets, and we try to go about it in a very specific and strategic way, which we use some software and rate our street systems. We go out and do, you know, actual field, our staff does field evaluations every year. And so every street gets evaluated every 2 years. And there's quite a process that goes into selecting streets in terms of our PCI index and then traffic counts and things like that. So, you know, we don't just knee-jerk pull a street name out of the hat and decide that's what we're going with each year.
And let me guess, you don't have $100 million just laying around.
We don't.
And resurface all the streets. How bad was this winter, specifically the January storm? I mean, when we were talking with folks from KDOT, they said that storm with the ice and snow and the long-lived cold temperatures really did a number on highways. So I can imagine, you know, here in town, it wasn't very good for the streets here.
No, it wasn't. It's one of those things where the freeze-thaw cycle is that period of time is what does a good amount of damage to our streets, unfortunately. Water infiltrates and gets into the surface portions of our asphalt and our concrete streets, and as it goes through the freeze-thaw cycles, it just kind of starts breaking the surface apart, you know, slowly and gradually. And in addition to that, one of the other times of year that same time of year is when, you know, the subgrades freeze, and then if the subgrade stays wet, and it just provides a lack of support for the street above it, and it's a time in which streets take a real beating, and you know, you end up our road crews are, you know, street guys are out there doing all kinds of pothole patching. Then come March and April,
and I'm assuming this year's crop of potholes is maybe a significantly larger than last year's or last couple of years.
Yeah, and I'm sure it is. It's like you say. It's you get into an extended freeze and a really, really hard freeze, or, you know, down to the temperatures we saw, and it does a real number on our streets and their ability to, their structural capacity.
Jim, before we let you go, there's a couple of other projects that I know that I wanted to talk with you about, one of which happens to be the upcoming C-clip work, which typically is, you know, really late summer in a lot of cases through the early fall, so that's several months out, but there's also the restarting of work for the I-35 bridge over Lincoln Street as well.
Yeah, and so C-Clip this year, we do not have a project. We did two last year, and so what we're doing, we will have an overlay project, I'll say less, more like C-Clip and less like street rehab in terms of The streets that we're looking at are a couple of the collector roads in town, and so, you know, we're looking at 12th Avenue and Prairie Street, but following up on the Waterline Project. And then speaking to the KDOT's bridge contract, so we've been told that they're starting next week, and I think they'll start moving traffic over to that new bridge that was constructed, and then they'll start the demo. And, you know, what they're telling us is August completion on that. So they'll build that. They'll do a demo of the old RCB. They'll build the new bridge. And then after they do that, they're coming down to underneath the bridge, and they're going to tear out Lincoln Street directly underneath the bridge. So from 24th Avenue to, I don't know, maybe 50 or 100 feet north of the new bridge. And they'll reconstruct the pavement underneath there. But the other nice thing that they're doing for us is they're going to put an 8-foot-wide concrete sidewalk or concrete path underneath there under the bridge that will connect the Becker Edition subdivision to Jones Park.
Okay.
And that kind of, and let me follow up that, because starting on the 17th, our KDOT TA project that KDOT's handling the administration on, it's a hike and bike and sidewalk project. They're going to start up there around Dillon's, I think about Payton Street on 12th Avenue. They'll go over to Burlingame and up to Riley. That is phase one, and that's probably a month to a month and a half of work. And then following that up, they'll come over to 24th Avenue and go from Lincoln Street to Jones Park. So that's the key tie-in when they deal that. They've constructed that tie-in there underneath the bridge. Then we're also going to be building a route along 24th Avenue, along Jones Park, and all the way over to Prairie Street. So creating some connectivity.
You mentioned sidewalks. Does the city get a lot of traction on people using the hazardous sidewalk program, Jim?
We really do. We tend to carry over anywhere from 10 to 12 property owners each year that come and visit with us that would like to participate in that program. And we have $100,000 in the program, and it's been every year that I've been here. It's a well-received program, and it's a nice cost share that we go into with property owners, and you know, get a lot of sidewalks that are broken and crumbling or heaving, and get all those replaced, those panels replaced.
Yeah, city covers, I think, 75% residential, pay 25%. Is that the breakdown?
We do. It's a 75 city share with 25%. Residential property owner, and then business and industrial or commercial is a 50-50 with those property owners.
Jim, I had one question coming in off the phones, and we're running out of time for us to really ask any more questions, but the question was about specifically, I guess, railroad crossing at Payton Street, when that was going to reopen.
So I've had a citizen ask me that off and on. I've been in contact we have with BNSF. We were told that as soon as they can get asphalt, hot mix asphalt from the plants, in particular APAC, which is there on Payton Street, their offices are, as soon as they fire up their plants, they would they'd get asphalt to the site and finish up that maintenance and have it back open. I think what happened was whatever their contractor got in there and started doing some work, and then it got drug out, and they didn't get asphalt to it to make the street repairs in time before winter set in.
All right. Well, Jim, as always, we appreciate your time. A lot going on, and you do a great job laying it out and getting the information out there. Thank you very much.
Ron and Chuck, I appreciate the time here, and look forward to talking next time.
Yeah, you betcha. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, Emporia City Engineer Jim Huber joining us on KVOE. Does a fine job of kind of laying things out there.
Here, here. Glad to have him on board with us here. Really. So want to let you know that Monday, as we get back to things here on St. Patrick's Day, our 8:20 interview will be our monthly visit with ESU Health and Human Performance Professor Dr. Jennifer Thomas, Monday here on KVOE.
Live in the local, it is 8:50. Good morning.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Senate working to avoid a partial government shutdown, which